The sermon for today is based off the gospel reading which we just heard. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Such is the question from John the Baptist, the bold prophet and confessor of God's word. Here speaks the man who unapologetically called Pharisees vipers and sinners to repentance. He is the forerunner to the Christ, the staunch pillar of faith who came in the power and spirit of Elijah to prepare the people for God. John didn't adjust his message to make the opposition happy, and he was not afraid to preach God's law to the fullest. Tickling the itching ears of the people was not on John's agenda. He was faithful in his preaching, and he was faithful in carrying out the mission that God had called him to carry out. But by this point in the gospel narrative, things have changed a little bit. This unwavering preacher of God's word now sits in prison, destined to meet a gruesome death, and so he sends his disciples to Jesus with the question, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" From a worldly point of view, John's ministry wasn't going too well. At one time, a bold proclaimer of God's word. Now, what he got for being that faithful proclaimer is a prison sentence. John was locked up by Herod because he had called Herod to repentance for marrying Herodias, his brother's wife. As a side note, never be surprised if when you call a sinner to repentance, they respond in an aggressive way. It happened to John the Baptist, and it could happen to any one of us. Now, when we take a step back and look at this situation of John being in prison, it doesn't seem quite right. The prophet of God is the one who is locked up. At one point, John had said these words, "His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." God judges the nations. With his justice and his righteousness, God never ceases in examining the sinful hearts of men. Under God's reign, the enemy gets his due while the believer gets the prize promised. At least that's how it's supposed to go. That's what we've heard. It's what John preached. His winnowing fork is in his hand. Well, that's easy to say when you are comfortably outside prison walls. But now, John sits inside prison, while the chaff, destined for the unquenchable fire, seems to be getting off the hook. While God's prophet is imprisoned, destined to die. Another prophet down. Chalk one up for the enemy. Are you the one, Jesus? Are you the one who is to come? If so, where is your power? Where is your justice? Where is your glory in this sinful, suffering world? Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? A very different statement from what John previously had preached. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That John sent his disciples to Jesus to inquire his identity shows us that John still had faith. Only that faith was bumping up against fear and doubt, and whenever that happens, we question things we shouldn't. John is exuding characteristics that aren't that out of the ordinary when it comes to the people of God. Whenever we find ourselves in a situation that seems contrary to God's word, we question things we shouldn't. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Maybe the atheist has it right when he says something like, a perfect holy God would never create a world as bad as this, or an omnipotent God would not allow his people to suffer or see all the atrocious things that we have grown so accustomed to seeing. Religion causes nothing but problems, especially those Christians, because they always think they're right and everyone else is wrong. Perhaps we should look for another. A God who doesn't care so much about confession, faith, and doctrine. A God who's more open and tolerant. A God who doesn't put so much emphasis on the Bible. A God who doesn't care what we believe in as long as we believe in something. Perhaps we should look for that God who will dance when we say dance and weep when we say weep. The sinner wants God on his own terms. The sinner is in the business of blaming God for how rough things are instead of looking in the mirror and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God, have mercy on us for bringing sin into this perfect world that you created. Last I checked, the Bible was perfectly clear on how sin came into the world. It wasn't the fault of our loving Creator. Rather, sin is the fault of man. Only now man feels inclined to blame God for the mess that we are in when suffering, sin, and death were ushered into paradise by man's disobedience. He's the transgressor. We're the transgressor, not God. But don't worry. The sinner is the guilty one, yes, but God will fix things. God will make right everything that has been corrupted by sin, and he will do so on his timetable, not ours, and he will do it his way, not ours. When Jesus hears John's question, this is what he says. He says, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. In other words, everything John had preached was correct. Jesus is that Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and this certainly includes sins of sickness, sins of the body that cause people to go blind, to be deaf, to be lame, sins that cause people to die. All of them find their end in Jesus. Your sicknesses, your infirmities have been put to death at the cross of Jesus. Even death itself has been killed at the cross of Jesus. All the painful effects of sin have been dealt with by the one who absorbed all the world's sins into his body and paid for those sins by dying on a tree. Sins of anger, sins of greed, sins of pride, sins of sexual immorality and adultery, sins of grief in a hurting world where tragedy so unexpectedly strikes, all of them dealt with in full by the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John was not wrong in what he preached. Jesus even calls him a reed unshaken by the wind. A prophet, yes, but much more than a prophet. He was the messenger preparing the way for the Christ, who does judge the world in righteousness and in equity. The winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will come again. We don't know when, but when he does, he will make right everything that has been broken by sin. And he says to us today, blessed is the one who is not scandalized by me. Now Jesus spoke these words in front of his usual enemies who had rejected the will of God to believe in the Messiah. And until our Lord comes again, we don't know when. Christian, we are told to prepare. That's the word. Always prepare yourselves for your Lord's coming. And how do you do that? You look to the one that John the Baptist proclaimed about. You look to the Messiah, to Jesus, whose blood frees you from your sins. A scandal? Is this foolishness? Is this a stumbling block? To many, yes. To many, Christ is that stumbling block that too many people trip over and fall to their death. To many, the work of Christ is foolishness. The notion of God dying on a cross to save doesn't sit too well with the hardened sinner. The image of Jesus bloody on a cross does not always jive with the image we want to have of God, a God of power, might, and glory, a God who can raise and destroy nations by a breath. Certainly God is and can do all of those things. What we don't always like thinking about is the image of God as a corpse on the cross. Beware of the wisdom of man. It has no shortage of ways in which we want to see and describe God apart from how God has revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus. The wisdom of man tells God how he should be and how he should save. The wisdom of man compels the sinner to want God on his own terms, to want God to respond in the way he wants him to respond. It is the wisdom of man that drives the sinner to look at his word and conjure up reasons of unbelief. God will have none of it. In fact, the scriptures say a thing or two about the wisdom of man. Hear these words from 1 Corinthians. The wisdom of the world is folly with God. The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep. You can see this either as the sinner not responding to the joyful song of the gospel, or repenting at a crushing blow of the law, or you can see this as man telling Jesus to dance when I say dance, weep when I say weep, respond in the way I think you should respond, God. Either way, it amounts to the same thing. Man acting out of his own wisdom, not the wisdom of God. Jesus says this phrase, wisdom is justified by her children, a somewhat mysterious phrase until we consult other parts of Scripture to find the wisdom Jesus is talking about, friends, is the wisdom of God. Paul would write these words to the Greek Corinthians. This is what Paul would say. He says, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power and wisdom of God. True wisdom, friends, wisdom that makes you wise for salvation, does not come from the flesh. It does not pour out of the heart of man. True wisdom is Christ, God's wisdom. And Christ is declared righteous by his children. God's wisdom is Christ, who saw fit to put on flesh and blood, to come into this world and be born of a virgin. God's wisdom is Christ, who by his word declares unto us our sinfulness and also his mercy and his forgiveness. God's mercy is Christ, who says even now he is still with us. Present at the font, present in his word, present here. In fact, God is so present that he says that bread is his body and that wine is his blood, and it is for Christians to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of sins. Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? The answer is what John the Baptist had already proclaimed. Jesus Christ will come again in power and in glory. For now, Christian, continue looking to the author and the perfecter of your faith. Your suffering is but for a little while. Your sins have been forgiven in Christ. God will not deal with you according to your sins, because he declares unto us, your sins have been dealt with in full by Jesus. This is power. This is glory. This is the wisdom of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace of God, which does surpass all human understanding, guard and keep your minds in Christ Jesus from now until life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.